condition called brain damage. We know it because we've seen it. If you're having symptoms like headaches and memory loss, Vera can help.
Albert, can you hear me? Now you're on mute.
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, because I could hear the TV, so you can go back to mute. Thank you.
You don't like Judge Judy.
Testing.
Okay, then. Well, you just do that. That's the professional way. And
canceling my meeting on the 27th of Sunday 10th. Okay. Yeah, I would think so too, but I don't know if I would have fixed it if I told you. You don't know. Okay. I didn't either. That's the only reason I am. Makes sense.
When can I come over and see you?
And
now I'm going to Cocoa Village tomorrow, Christmas time with my wife. So it could be when, you know, I'll see. Let's see how much money I got. I'll see.
Thanks,
yeah. Well, I know where you live.
I bet you're looking forward to that, too. It's not having to do it anymore.
You live at that place and you always got stuff out there. To say
I understand that.
In the yard and stuff.
I'm rapidly moving.
388, right across from who? Yeah.
Well, that's all right. I don't have anything to do with that.
388, take a look at it. Now we got carpenters that work with us, so they might be more skilled than me. So, but if you want to give a donation, it's okay. $5. If you don't, it's okay too. You just help somebody else. That's all right. It's an entry door. What door is it? Entry door? Yeah.
No, they have their own meetings.
Okay. I'll come by. I'll stop by and see you. Now, tomorrow I'll be at Kirkland Zoo. Maybe Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I think they're still hanging out. Yeah, I got it.
We're good.
Communication.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rather than questions coming right away. Or maybe we thought
about it. You want to talk to her?
Is this on?
Yeah.
Your mind? I didn't know you had any there.
No.
He doesn't. Oh, I'm sure he'd love to. What, do they have a little, like a campus? Do they do once a week? Or didn't know that.
Okay.
I would like to call to order the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District meeting, December 13th, 2021. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in this Advent season, we await your Son's coming to fulfill your divine plan. You knew we would mess up, and you had a plan ready to redeem your people. You sent us the greatest gift, your Son. Thank you for this unspeakable gift. In him, we had eternal life. What a joy. What a gift. We seek your continued blessing in our lives. Bless our meeting and our actions on behalf of Holiday Park. Let us make decisions that benefit the residents who live here. Let us share the love you have for us with each other. Bless us in this season of the year and always. In your promised Savior's name, amen.
Amen.
Rise for the pledge. Ask the secretary to take roll.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Carol Summers.
Present.
Cheryl Moore. Here. Keith Richer.
Here.
Paul Goblick. Absent. Gary Vincent.
Here.
Karen Allen. Richard Brooks.
Here.
Terry Steimer.
Here.
And Cherie Morris will be joining us tonight. Thank you.
With our chairman announcements, I would like to again greet and welcome Officer Marsala, who is here. Secondly, the board counters that are appointed for tomorrow and the board should approve these two individuals, Cheryl Moore, and Jack Emmerich, two board members who retire at the end of this month. And the impartial observer that we contacted is Johnny Stout, a local real estate person. So that should be added in under new business, the approval of the appointments for the counters for tomorrow. I would like to rescind an appointment I announced last meeting. Because of bad information, Paul Goblick hadn't given up his position as liaison person to ACC, and I appointed Gary, and I alerted Gary that Paul is still the representative of the board, and Gary was willing to serve if Paul would be unable to attend the meeting. So that's how that situation was left. Item number six on the agenda is approval of the minutes for November 22nd. Looking for a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second, Keith.
Go ahead. Any questions, comments, corrections?
It's up to you. But chairman announcements, when I wasn't here at this meeting, so I listened to the audio in order for me to be able to vote on these minutes. I didn't know if you wanted all the information that you normally, that you said for your chairman announcements. Like in the audio, you had said that Officer Moore was in attendance. That's not in the minutes. And you made a reference to the town hall meeting and encouraging residents to search out answers for yourself. And that you add the street sweeping was going to be discussed. Do those need to be in the minutes? I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't see you there.
Do they need to be in?
I don't think they necessarily have to be in the minutes because there was no action. Those were just announcements.
Okay.
Mark.
I'm bringing this up now because this is a letter written by Robert Shortledge, and it concerns the November 22nd meeting. Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. On November 22nd at the workshop meeting of the Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District, Jack Emmerich said, and I quote, "If an item is not on the agenda or not added at the onset, you cannot bring it up for action," end quote. That statement violates the Sunshine Law, Delta, Notices and Procedures, Number 1, Agenda. The Sunshine Law does not mandate that an agency provide notice of each item to be discussed via a published agenda, although the Attorney General's Office has recommended the publication of an agenda. The courts have rejected such a requirement because it could effectively preclude access to meeting members of the general public who wish to bring specific issues before the governmental body. Not only did Chairman Jack Emmert violate the Sunshine Law, that statement was a direct attempt to bully the Board of Trustees and the residents to silence us. I feel he also tried to bully me when he said I could not speak during public comments, as he has done to others during public comments in the past. Robert's Rules of Order. Under legitimate parliamentary procedure, a member speaking should not be interrupted unless a rule is broken. There is no such thing as gaveling through a measure. The chairman cannot move so quickly through the proceedings so as to disregard the right of members to speak on it. Jack Emmerich should be reprimanded and immediately resign as chairman for violating the Sunshine Law agenda, Robert's Rules of Order, gaveling in attempts to interfere with residents' right to speak, and for bullying the board and residents in this community. Robert Shortledge. Robert was not able to make the meeting, so he would have read this himself. No one else would come up and read it. I told him I would read it so that the board would hear it. Thank you.
Is this part of the minutes?
Army?
What he read, was that part of the minutes we need to approve? No.
No, he's just reading a letter for tonight. Okay.
Yeah, I understand that. But right now our motion is to approve the minutes.
Right.
It changed the minutes in no way.
We're switching on minutes. It was the wrong time to speak.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. If you read Robert's Rules of Order, and I was president for many years of different organizations, the minutes only consist of motions that are made and the disposition of that. All the public comment, anything else doesn't belong in the minutes. Only motions that have an effect on the board and the vote, how it came out. That's all that should be in the minutes. No comment about who said what or why they said it or anything else. None of the discussion, period.
Thank you. Any other comments about the minutes from 11:22? Okay, board, all in favor of approval, raise your right hand. Opposed?
8-0, passed.
District Manager's Report.
Check. Just wanted to make sure this is working properly. Palm trees by the bocce courts have been planted. We will use the crushed shells for ground cover between the trees after we plant some small bushes there. Three more will be installed on the other side of the courts, on the side in front of the horseshoe, this side of the horseshoe area. And it's quite nice to see people using the bocce ball course, not just for the guys in the morning, but I've seen people in the evenings, residents and families are using the course now too. It's really nice. Kendall Sign will be here Wednesday, December 15th, just to install the LED sign board. Diane Bell, myself, and Linda Santa Maria, we all have the instructions. And hopefully we can get through this and get the sign up in front of real soon. I spoke to Palmside Apartment Complex, the manager there. They're over there by the post office, between the storage area and where we keep our grounds equipment. There's a 5-foot space between the fences, and evidently they've been using it as their garbage area. So I sent pictures to their manager, and it needs to be cleaned up. So I'm working on that right now. Also, in the storage area, there's some really tall Australian pines and the pepper trees. Dave from Alpine is going to go in there and trim those back for all of you who have things in the storage area. Also, there's a wire in the back and a lot of palm trees that's grown around the wires. We're going to trim those up as well. The lights are on at the front fountain. The rubber posts have been installed at the median, at the gatehouse. We've installed the light fixtures in the bathroom and a new toilet seat. Monroe Cornett has retired from the gate staff. He's moving out of state due to health issues. His replacement is John Higgins. He will start training next week. We stole him from Lamplighter. He was one of the gates or the guards at Lamplighter. He's been there for 7 years. So he's leaving there. He's going to come and join our staff. The surplus money request for 334 Holiday Park has been submitted to the county tax collector in the amount of $9,798. This is for back taxes and general maintenance provided by the park. It usually takes them two or three responses back and forth via email, but that's what we've applied for and we should be getting that. 437 Holiday Park and 280 Blossom will both be going up for auction in the month of January, which is really good. We're slowly getting all the derelict homes pulled out of here and cleaned up. So we're really making headway on getting those things cleaned up. The condenser motor was replaced on the freezer and the kitchen. While they did that, they cleaned the foils and the refrigerator as well. AmeriGas has filled up the propane tank. There was a clog drain on the kitchen floor. Roller Hooter was here, and they cleared it. World Electronics, our fire suppression system, was here today, but will be here Monday to install inspect the whole system. There seems to be a problem with the signals. I've been getting calls at 3 and 4 a.m. now for a few weeks. The ballot for the de-restriction vote will be open on Tuesday, December 14th, 2021 at 9 a.m. Sharon Moore, Jeff Emmerich will be opening the ballot. I have here Keith Richard and Carol Summers as well. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, I guess. There will be another person not affiliated with the park present, and as Jeff had mentioned, that would be Jeff on the dummy stuff. Chairs will be set up in the dining hall for observers. The Board of Trustees will review the staff Christmas bonuses and will instruct the DM. The staff Christmas lunch will be Tuesday, December 21st. We're looking at a food truck, which will be situated outside in the back. We're not sure if that's the route we're going to take, as our sign-up sheet is not, a lot of people are not going to be participating, so we're going to wait and find out for another 2 days. I do have an addendum. I spoke with Carl Bowe over the weekend, and today he confirmed he did receive a check for $2,500 for attorney's fees for 441 Holiday Park Boulevard and 1183 Greenview. Those are the two homes that were removed by the LLC, and those are for his fees. When the check clears, his office will be sending the park $2,180.39. There's a fee of $319.61 for closing out the liens that we have. So that would be, that's his fee. So again, we'll be getting $2,180.39. I met with the owner, Paul Chenares of World Electronics. He did come in today. He updated the data we spent on. He has given me his cell number and told me to call him should I get the early AM emergency calls any longer. One of the heaters in the pool is out of commission. We are working diligently to have it repaired. As soon as they can be here is December 22nd. Until then, the pool will be covered every night. The office will take over issuing the vehicle owner decals after Wednesday, December 22nd. These will be issued Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you are not able to make it in this time frame, please call the office and we will do our best to accommodate you. And I just wanted to clarify something. We did call the voter or superintendent of elections and the board of elections. And their response was, it's out of your jurisdiction and to contact the park attorney. So both of those agencies were contacted and they don't have anything to do with the vote. I just wanted to say $1,450 is the cost for the tree trimming in the storage company. And just happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Any questions? Becky?
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. Two questions. The first thing is, yes, the light, the fountain at the front is, the light is on and so forth, but I thought they were supposed to be colored.
I can't find any colored lights, and neither can the doctors. Maybe that's something we can go online, Amazon or something, and try to research. But for right now, that's what we have.
Okay.
And have they ever been colored?
I think they were.
Yeah.
At one time.
Have they been colored?
Yeah.
Well, then we should research it a little further.
And the other question is about the cleaning of the canals. Apparently, there's a lot of mosquitoes and a lot of brush in the canals areas. I think you talked about that on your last report, but I don't know. To the best of my knowledge, nothing's been done.
Nothing has been done. What we're waiting for is we're waiting for them to dry up a little bit more.
Well, we've got a lot of mosquitoes out there.
I'll call the county and see if I can get them out here to spray until we can get them to dredge them again. The last time they did it was awesome. So
well,
let me see what their take is on that.
Thank you.
I have a question about the date for decals. You said after the 22nd, but so are you doing it next week also? So, because this Wednesday is the 15th. I just wonder if that date is a whole week away, but after this Friday is no, the, okay. So it, yeah, real slow. I'm just saying maybe the office might take it over sooner than the 22nd is all I'm, just because of the way it happened. That's all.
Is there a motion to file her report?
Do we?
We have been.
I make a motion we accept the report.
I second it.
Okay, board, all in favor, raise your right hand. Opposed? I think it was 8-0.
8-0 passed.
Yeah, I stuck up the wrong hand. Yeah. The other right.
Under old business, there is an item that shows itself in new business. And that was following up discussion with 27th meeting. And I'm told we really need to have that meeting. So I don't know that we even need to bring it to a vote since it's on the schedule already. That we need it to do certifying the election. So we will be meeting the 27th. Might be short, but we have to do that. New business. A is bylaw amendment, and I think I'll let Rich walk us through this. There was a, I didn't get this till tonight. No, I got it earlier, but I got a letter tonight that said the amendment wasn't posted, so it really shouldn't be discussed because there was no alert to that. But I think I will just say to Rich, walk us through your idea, and then we will put this on the December 27th meeting where it can all be properly posted. And
yeah, I agree with that. Let me give you the backstory on this. A few weeks ago, it came up. I overheard a current trustee and a resident talking about how the election would be carried on and who would be sworn in at the first meeting of the new year. And the statement was made that any appointee that already put their letter in would be appointed or sworn in the second meeting. That makes absolutely no sense in that those appointees will not have an opportunity to vote for the chairs. I talked to several other employees and they said, or residents, and they said, we've done it both ways. My first proposal, I looked at a bunch of stuff and I was going to ask the board to this board to vote on those people. And I couldn't find anything said that that couldn't be done. But recently somebody said, did you find anything that said it could be done? And I couldn't. So I came up with the third proposal on this. It's called research, poor research at that. And basically what it says is Article 2, annual organization meeting of Board of Trustees. It's currently written, trustees elected in the previous general election shall take the respective oath of office. I made a little correction here and said this oath should be administered by a public officer or such person as may be empowered to minister that oath under the laws of state of Florida. My proposal, which I think just expands this and clarifies it, is one, an event that the general election fails to fill a trustee seat or seats, those duly sworn members of the Board of Trustees shall interview any and all Florida residents who reside in Port Malabar, Holiday Park, Mobile Park, Recreational District that have expressed interest in the vacant seats by submitting a letter of intent. Those residents that are appointed to these seats by the majority of the trustees shall take the same oath as mentioned above. The Board of Trustees cannot proceed to B, which is the election of the board, the seats in there, until one would be completed. That would include those people that were already elected and voted on. They would vote for the people that are submitted letters of intent. And it just, that's the way it was done in the past, as I was told, as well as the other way. So I think it just clarifies what we need. So it don't happen again and again. Every time an election comes up, we go through the same bit. That's my suggestion.
Any questions from the board? Gary?
If there's a vote on that, I'll abstain because it affects me. But I think it would be in the best interest of the park to go ahead and do it. Applicants, right now there's two, and two empty seats. We could end up with another one or two. We don't know. But I think that trustees who are applying, and if they're appointed to the board by a vote by the trustees, they should be allowed to vote on the officers and even be eligible for a position if they're nominated. But if it comes to a vote by this board to change the bylaws, I won't vote because it affects me. And I don't want anybody thinking I'm voting to let myself be allowed to do something. So I'll just be an abstain vote. But I think it should be done.
I would just like to say, I don't know if you remember last year's conversation. We had five board members and we elected officers. And after it was all over with, it was like people said, why didn't we fill the board first and then elect officers? So I agree. I think it's a good idea. You may or may not get nine. Because every year you're going to have either five or four if the elections don't go, if it does, it just didn't work out right. But am I right? Somebody correct me. Gary, I don't think you can abstain from voting, no matter what it is. Am I right? Yes. We have to vote on everything. And whatever your opinion is or however they want us to do it, I think people need to give some feedback here because it's a bylaw. And I did have a note on here about we can't vote on it tonight because of the 10-day rule, posting rule, which is why we started posting all the bylaw changes last winter. But so does that mean you're presenting this as, to be posted as of tomorrow, and then it will be posted 10 days prior to the December 27th meeting, then we can discuss it and have come to vote?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen here tonight? I'm just saying it for clarification. That's the way I understand it.
That's what Jack just suggested.
So we'll put it on the agenda. Okay.
I'm pretty much not hard against it. The thing I would go is the people that put together and planned ahead in July and April and planned and got voted in November, planned ahead, and I'd like to see them, those people, have the offices more than the people who said, oh, I want to step up and do this because I have an agenda from November on, would be my only concern, that those would be people that we appointed would then, oh, now we got to put in a chairman or somebody from that position. That would be, but I'm not hard one way or the other. That would be just my concern.
My first reaction to that would be, if you have a personal agenda, you shouldn't be on the board.
I agree.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that never happened.
Can I ask a question, Rick? I don't know what you have there because it hasn't been posted, but you talked about 1, 2, and 3 revisions or whatever. Which one are you saying?
No, I read A, which is what is in the bylaws right now.
Okay.
And then I just labeled it as 1 because there is only 1. So maybe I should cross out the 1.
Or should it be B then?
No, he's actually adding an agenda to A.
What I'm saying is, what I'm offering, what I'm suggesting is part of A. It's 1.
A subset of A. Okay.
Okay.
Elected officials and then appointments if we have letters. And they're both under A.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want it?
Yeah, I would. I would.
You
You'll see it when I post it.
It's probably not the best wording in the world.
Look over the wording and then get it posted tomorrow or the next day?
I think that's important to do.
I think you need to get the committee together any committee, but it should be gone over and get the correct language.
Well, here's what you need to remember. It doesn't have to be a committee.
No.
Any trustee can suggest a bylaw change.
That's correct. I understand that.
Would you be willing to work with me tomorrow?
Yeah, after the vote, yes.
Sure. Well, I have to put windows in tomorrow morning, so.
Okay, that's fine. Just give me a buzz.
I will do.
Thank you. As long as we're looking at the wording, I would like the election to go with the officers, chairman, secretary, and treasurer first, and then go in and fill the assistants. Instead of having, because sometimes you take the best person to be chairman, the second best person to be first chair, and by the time you get to the treasurer or the treasurer's assistant, you have 2-3 people left. And I would like to see the main officers filled and then go down and get assistance. I would like to see that type. That would be my only thing.
That's exactly the way it's written. Well, actually, it isn't written. That's the way it's been done.
No, it hasn't. They've done chairman, first chair, second chair.
Oh, that way. I think we're talking two different.
I'm talking about the order of elected officers.
Okay.
And I would like to see that chairman, still, secretary, and treasurer. If you're putting it in writing, I would like to see, because they've had it in writing a little bit before, and it's always been chairman, first chair, second chair,
and
secretary.
That's not being changed. That's not being changed.
I want it to change.
But he wants it changed.
I want the chairman first, then the secretary to be voted on second before the assistant chairmans are. And then the treasurer, in other words, the three main officers become from the whole board, and then you pick your assistants from the remaining people on the board.
So that wording should be put on the posting.
I would like that put on. Not that I'm greatly against it, but we have found once we get down to the treasurer, we got two people left to choose from instead of having the full board, because some of the better people get chosen first for helping out.
Well, Keith, you're confused. You're confusing me. My proposal is talking about
I know
the
that.
Elected officials.
I know that. All I want to do is add to that, to put into this bylaw that the officers will be elected in this order. You didn't talk about it.
So you're talking about you want me to also change B.
Yeah.
But as you read B, the trustees shall elect from among their members officers designated as chairperson, first vice chairperson, second vice chair. Person, it doesn't say they are elected in this order. That's become the practice.
Mm-hmm. That's the practice. So,
they're just telling you the title of the offices.
Yes. And yes. I don't think we need to change that. I think if they want to say first we're going to elect the president or chairman, then we're going to do first chairman, secretary, treasurer, can do that. It doesn't say it. It has to be in this order. I think we'd be better off leaving this B unaltered.
But then if a board chooses to elect officers in the order of treasurer, secretary, first vice, chairman, are you guys going to flip out if it's not written like that? Or do you allow the board to elect the officers as in the order as they see fit, which could be from year to year different? Is that what we're saying? Because that paragraph, all it does is tells you the title of the offices, officers, titles, whatever. And it doesn't force you to elect them in that order.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park, order of succession for presiding officers, chairperson, first chair, second chair, secretary.
That's succession. That's not election.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it tells you.
Right. It's
but
not
it doesn't
how
tell you
appoint them.
That's right.
It
doesn't
it's
tell
just
you how to appoint.
That's like he's in charge of the meeting.
Right.
Then she's in charge of the meeting.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, it doesn't say how. It
thank
just
you.
Says if, and that's
succession.
All, and that was just voted on June 14, 2021.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's up to the chairman and what's the order they're elected because they're in charge of the meeting, or is it up to the board to decide which order they're elected?
That's what I'm asking.
That's what I'm asking too.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I think it's amazing that our committee worked on these bylaws, and they've been voted on twice in the past, 4 months? It is up to the chairman and the board in January how you elect your officers, because you got to remember, some years, like the treasurer is there for 2 years, so he don't have to be elected again next year if he's there for 2 years.
What do you mean he doesn't have to be elected again?
No,
every year.
Every
we
year?
Him.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Every
and
year.
You won't have a chairman after the first of the
I
year.
I know, I understand that. But I agree with Keith that I think that the board should make this a decision at that meeting, you know, depending on who's there, that if the treasurer is one of the most important jobs, which it probably is, maybe chairman, treasurer, secretary. I'll agree with that, you know.
So we're saying we don't need to change that part because that doesn't
have to
tell us how to elect them.
Right.
So his wording, right. Whatever they choose, can
be. Yeah, what's there is fine.
Okay.
The main thing is if we were use the word chairman and board, in other words, I would like to see, because if you get a chairman that wants to run something through, that gives one person. I'd like to see the board decide that. But, yeah.
Mark.
Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. I think I heard Karen Foote say they were just changed. The bylaws were just done this year, June 14th, 2021. Why wasn't this brought up then?
Why wasn't it? Do you know how many times bylaws can be changed every month?
I'm asking because we had an effort by people to change the bylaws, mm-hmm. and they put a lot of hard work and effort into it.
Mm-hmm. I think we changed it.
Mark, this is just for clarification. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So that
I think well, that I was I'll tell you why I think
I was here last year when we went through this fiasco.
It was.
And nobody seemed to know what was going on, and we had the bylaws. So nobody read the bylaws because they didn't understand what was going on and how it was supposed to be proceeded.
No. It was never allowed in the past years the way it was interpreted, the way I asked about it after last year or this year's meeting at the beginning in January, and it says we've always done it that way. You only work with the elected officers. And I stated, if you go back and listen to the audio, I made the statement that that is something that we should address for the next time.
I agree.
You know what? It slid under there. People make mistakes.
Okay.
It was not deliberate. And why, the bylaws were posted there for months. None of you brought it up either. We're only an extension of what you guys want.
I'm just asking the question.
Yes, but you point fingers.
Yes. I am. Because I have a letter that I saw that went to the chairman from Robert Brooks.
No, I'm Rick.
Rick Brooks, excuse me, I'm sorry. And it states in there completely what he wants to, how he wants to change it. Now that's like a communication between the trustees before it's ever brought up.
Which is legal.
It is.
It is. The Sunshine Laws, and it is supposed to be done. He as a trustee wants to present a change to the bylaws. His responsibility is to bring it to the chairman to have it put on the agenda. Where it becomes wrong, Mark, please.
I'm listening.
Where it becomes wrong is if he responds to him on how that discussion will go. We can bring anything we want to him. As you will find out when you're a trustee, you're allowed to bring things to a chairperson. You cannot discuss it after that. It's a one-way street. It is not breaking the Sunshine Laws.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for educating me.
As long as it goes one way all the time, it can
go to all
the board members, just nothing can come back.
Yes. It can't be a two-way conversation, period.
Any other comments? If not, we will resurface this 2 weeks from tonight.
Do we have to vote on that to make it posted, or it just gets posted?
No,
it just has to be posted.
Just posted.
Okay.
Posted. Can you say?
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Christmas bonuses for staff. You see the board members, you see the list.
Yep.
Once more. Van Benito, $25. He is a new staff member. Daryl Brown, $50. Ward Collins, $50. Ryan Deem, $50. Sean Downs, 25, another new staff person. James Heron, $50. John Higgins, you heard his name announced tonight. A $10 Walmart gift card since he's just starting.
He hasn't even started yet.
Excuse me, Jack, do you care? Let Cherie read the list and kind of explain how she came up with those numbers. Would you mind doing that, Cherie? That way we
basically save a... Following last year's bonus suggestion, Anthony Joe, again, he just finished his 90-day probationary period, so we have 25 of him. Daryl Brown has been with us for a few years now, 50. Ward Collins, same, 50. Brian Deans, 50. John Downs has been with us. He hasn't even completed his 90-day probationary period. He's 25. James Heron, 50, who we know is doing. John Higgins, he hasn't even started yet, but we thought a $10 Walmart gift card would be appropriate. Mike Case, 50. Lori Lyon, 100. Sherry Morris, 200. Joe Proch, 25. He is also a new staffer. Derek Presley, 50. Kathleen Richardson, 100. Jose, 100. Earl Simmons, 100. Steve Wolfridge, 100. The larger bonuses are for folks that have been here for about 5 years and up. And as proposed, it's pretty much the same as last year.
I don't see Dwayne's name on here.
James Heron.
James Heron.
We call him Dwayne. His real name is James.
All right. I didn't
okay,
know that.
Can I ask a stupid question? Now, he's been here forever. He's, like, been here longer than most of our residents. Why are we only giving him $50 then?
I agree. That was a question we had at the board meeting last year, and that's what the board instructed me to do. So that's why I put on the agenda in my report to take direction from the board. So this is why we're doing this, so you all can discuss what the actual bonuses should be. This is just a guideline.
Okay, I'm going to probably make you guys mad, but I'm going to do it anyway. To be honest with you, a $10 Walmart gift card is a slap in the face. It can't even buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk today. I know, I understand that, I know. But he will be here by Christmas, right?
That's what you guys tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he will be an employee by Christmas, correct?
He will. However, he'll just start his probationary period. But hey, I'm all in favor. You guys tell me what to do.
With today's market the way it is, and I don't have a problem giving bonuses whatsoever. I just think that maybe we might be a little low on some of these this year. The $25 is kind of low in my opinion. I don't know if employees are going to discuss their bonuses, but I would be, you know, you can't guarantee that they do and you can't guarantee that they don't.
Oh, they do, Carol.
And they probably do discuss it. And for someone to say, okay, I got $100 and they're going to go, well, I got a $10 one. It's kind of like, what did you do wrong? Or I got a $25 one. What did you do wrong? Maybe we should think about making them a little more across the board. I would almost say even $100 for everybody. But that's not up to me. I just think that we're not being as generous as what maybe we should be for the time of the year, considering what we're going through economically as a whole for everyone. That's just my opinion. And the new guy that's coming on board, I can understand that, but maybe consider the 25 or 50 versus 100 because he is new. But I really think that our employees work hard for us. So they deserve the recognition from all of us. And if we can afford it, we should consider probably, and my recommendation would be $100 across the board for everyone.
The only thing about that, most of our people are part-time workers, but we do have full-time workers. So we're bonusing whether they're part-time or full-time. I mean, same amount. Okay. I'm just asking. that I'm not saying I can't, I don't want to do it or don't. I'm just bringing the question up that some are half-time, some are full-time.
And
like you're saying, okay, I feel bad for somebody not getting the slap in the face. But the thing is, you also feel bad for the person that's putting in 40 or 50 hour a week, getting the same bonus as a guy putting in 20 hours a week. I mean, but it is Christmas, and so we're doing the thing. And that, because that was brought up before, and we have the money, and I have no problem making them all the same. It's just, Cherie, you've got to deal with the gossip between the group.
I'll take whatever I can get from the staff. I mean, this is just from last year, and this is basically what the board had decided on last year. So I'm just taking this and submitting it again. So
has there ever been any discussion on based on seniority? Like 1 to 5 years is a certain amount, and after 5 years to 10 years is a certain amount, and after 10, you know, I don't know. Is that something that could be considered where then it's not, it's in concrete what, how long have you been here? Well, then you know you're going to get this. Just a thought.
I think it's a good idea.
I do too.
Okay. Dave Curtis, 1130 Seminole Court. I saw and heard what this bonus thing was about for Christmas, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. I cannot believe that this board could have been that cheap for these people that worked their butts off for us. I see this day in and day out. And quite frankly, if they had given me that, I would have walked off the job and told them to kiss it. I can't put it any plainer than that. That is absolutely disgraceful. As much money as we've got sitting around in these accounts, that you guys can't come up with something better than that is,
I've never received a bonus in my life.
Well, I have, and it's never been as low as what you've got. And I own my own business in this town, and I paid my employees better, and I gave them better bonuses than what these guys are getting for 25 years of service. And I've stated my case. It's disgraceful. Thank you.
And yet last year's conversation was people in the audience griping that we're giving bonuses.
Yes. Did last year.
Yes, it was.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle.
Can you pull it down a little bit? Thank you.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. I don't think that a man that's worked or a person that has worked here for 5 years or more should be getting the same bonus as somebody that just started this year.
The thing I would have to say is I agree. Christmas is a time to be charitable and bonus, but also that is also true in September when we're trying to set the fees for the park. You know, we may have a lot of money, but we're starting to fix a lot of things up. We got a lot of flack from how much the sidewalks are costing. The money has been earmarked for different things. And we're trying to be stewards of the money, and we've been doing pretty good. We haven't raised, in fact, we lowered the fees 2 years ago, and we've kept them. But people then must need to understand that fees are going to have to go up when we do this. Okay.
We're talking $1,800.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa.
Wow.
This little bonus, I agree, will not send the fees up skyrocketing. Right. All I am saying is every time we add something to it, we fix something, we have a budget and a budget is a guess. That's all it is. Because the sidewalks, how many of you thought that we'd spend $300,000 to put sidewalks in? Yeah, and it was over that. How much you think it's going to be when it comes to putting in the new clubhouse or the building that up? These fees are that. So all I'm addressing is, yeah, we have quite a bit of money and we haven't been doing much with it because of COVID. Just being a little frugal, and everybody's trying to take care of our employees and doing it so everybody is, nobody's going to be completely happy or dishappy. You just have to, like I say, it's Cherie, you've got to be the one that puts up with this and complaining. So.
Well, I think it's an appreciation coming from the park to the staff. It shows them that they are appreciated, and I think that's how they look at it. You know, look, they paid that much of me to give me this bonus, and I think that helps morale. It helps them with their work ethic in the park as well. So I think you'll need to consider that as well.
Park Boulder 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. This is something that comes up every year. Why couldn't we sit down and say, this is what we're going to do for people that have been here this long. This is what we're going to do for people that have been, and have it set in stone so that every year it doesn't have to come up again for a vote. It's just, this is what we do. And then we don't have to have the argument, agree on it, and make it so.
That's what I, yeah. If we could we make that decision right now based on years of service?
I would like to say, Cherie, take this back to the office and restructure it based on years in service.
Well, our problem with going back is Christmas is before our next meeting.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, let's have a special meeting.
Oh, no, yeah, right.
What?
Well, you think about it. What do you feel is a good service time frame to be a cutoff before you raise it? Or, as Carol said, everybody gets the same. $100 or whatever, you know.
May I make a suggestion?
Time right now with the expenses that there is, everything's going up. So if we're being kind to our workers, they're going to turn around and do a lot more little things for Park. So I think they deserve that.
I'll just say this. You know what? I will give up my bonus if you guys want to distribute it amongst my staff. Okay. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. If this is so much of an issue, take mine and divide it up.
No, it's not an issue. The issue is being fair to people.
Can I make a suggestion before?
Linda.
Linda Santa Maria, 113 Holiday Park. I agree with Carol that it's Christmas. It should be across the board. It's not their annual raise. So I think they should all get the same. I agree completely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rick?
My suggestion would be anybody a year or under, give them $75. We don't pay these people very much money. I mean, how can you live on $400 a week? Anybody over a year, give them $100. That should be the breakdown. I mean, we can't get...
Right now, this amount is $1,085, which is $1.55 per lot. If we double it, we're at $3.10 per lot. Now, Cherie's offer to give up her bonus, that could be applied. We don't have to make her do that, but maybe she doesn't need the increase, let's say. You know, but we could afford to double this and not bat an eye, and we're talking $3 a person, you know, a lot, you know, so...
I can't believe that.
Well,
and we're going to get him 100.
No, that's an unusual thing.
What he said, the year would be the breakoff. People below a year gets amount, and people above a year get an amount. Yeah. Is that what you were saying?
$75 for under a year, $100 over. Not a Kodak bonus, but it's a bonus.
Yeah, I
knew you would like that.
Burt Valentine, 1057 Maple Court. As he just said, they don't pay him very much money. Give everybody a week's wage.
Wow.
Why not? When you work, that's a week's wage. So the ones that have been here longer are going to make more. I hope, at least. Wow. Longevity requires a little more wage. And don't take taxes out of it. If they make $400 a week, before taxes, yeah, give them whatever they make in a week. And then you don't have to worry about being fair, being even. And we're a multi-million dollar corporation. Please. You don't give somebody $25. Wow. I'm done.
Oh, Becky.
I agree with the breakdown that Rick said. If you're here less than a year, $75. But a guy that's only been here 1 week, come on. He hasn't even started yet. Will he even be started by the 21st when you're having your luncheon and give the bonuses?
No.
I don't think he gets anything.
Right.
No, it's not even...
Oh, come on, folks.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I have to say, back in the 80s, I had a lot of teenage kids work for me. I gave them $200 for Christmas. Those kids busted their ass for my business. Folks, let's not be cheap about this. Let's not have this discussion about somebody that's been working here 7 days. Come on, forget that one. Why don't we give our employees, anybody that's been here over 5 years, let's say, $200?
Yeah.
Give the rest of them $100 up to 5 years. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
Okay, I got a question. Didn't we a few years ago start giving gift cards so we didn't have to take the income tax out of them?
Right.
Didn't we do that?
Right.
We gave gift cards so we didn't have to take income tax out of it.
They were Visa credit
right.
cards from TV.
Right.
Oh, for 2 years.
That's right. They were right. And that way we didn't take income tax out of it. Am I correct?
Right.
So let's do it in the form of gift cards. TD Bank or whatever, you know.
So it's just a matter of determining what's the cutoff for employment and how much are you going to give on either side of the cutoff.
Right.
That's fine. All right,
I would like to make a motion then.
Yeah, one thing I'd bring up.
Hold it.
They have to at least have one day in.
Hold it. Go ahead.
I would like to make a motion that any employee that has been with the park 5 years or under receive a bonus gift card in the amount of $100. If they have been with the park over 5 years, regardless, they should get a bonus of $200 and leave it at that.
I second that.
Okay, any other comments?
If they've been here over 20 years.
Right.
They've received a lot of bonuses. My thing is, I guess as an employee, they have to work one day at least. Define employee. Work one day at least. Just have to be hired. A person that says, we hired you, but you don't start to work for 2 weeks after the first of the year.
And they get their bonus and don't come to work?
No. I think they have to have at least some hours on the time card.
Okay. Well, the break off would be at the Christmas party, and this one guy isn't starting until after that, if I understood Sheree correctly. Am I correct? He doesn't start until after the bonuses are paid out?
Correct. Hasn't started training yet.
So we'll give him some cookies or something.
Yeah, he's got an issue. He
about 25 for him since he's going to be new.
No.
Yeah, so start it.
We're dealing with. Hold on.
Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park.
If a person is under probation, I feel they should get nothing.
Oh,
they're probationary. They have not put any time in. You don't know how they're going to do their first day, their first week, their first month. So let's not worry about the probationary people. They'll be compensated the following year. That's my opinion.
I think they need something. I'm sorry. I think it's Christmas. We need to give them something.
Mark Bodle, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. Did you make a motion?
Yeah. I did make a motion, yes, sir.
Did it get seconded?
Yes, it was by Mr. Brooks.
Thank you.
The motion was that I said any employee who has been with the park for less than 5 years, okay, that is a current employee, not one that's coming on board in 2 weeks. I'll say any employee that has been with the park for 5 years or less receive $100. Any employee that's been with the park over 5 years, regardless of the time in office or in position, should receive $200. And it was seconded by Mr. Brooks.
Yeah. And my step is defining employee. Employee is somebody has at least some hours on a time card.
Yes.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I have the answer for that. If you're on probation for 90 days, you do not get medical. Leave it, add it to that, that if you're a probationary, it's not included.
Right.
That's what I meant, you know, the 90 days.
I'm going to leave my motion as stated. I don't care if they are probationary. I believe that because it's the holiday, we do deserve to recognize our employees.
Do we call for a second?
Carol.
Okay.
Carol, do you think maybe 10, 20 years might deserve a little more than that? Should we have one more level or no?
I'm sorry. I'll respond to that real quick. I know that we have employees that have been here for quite a while, like Dwayne, and I think it's amazing that we've had one last that long. If you want to know the truth. But no, I don't, because I think if we're starting to get into those levels, we're going to get too complicated and too colluded. And I think just breaking it that way is going to make it more beneficial to everyone, where everyone receives a nice bonus. And it's better for us financially as a park to be able to recognize our employees in a better way.
Okay.
We're still discussing.
Discussion on the motion. We can't hear you, Annette.
Not picking you up.
Just speak louder.
It's on.
Speak louder?
You got it.
Yeah, there you go.
A Christmas bonus is intended for to show appreciation of the work you have done for the employee. First place, all of this talk about somebody who has not even walked in the door and put in an hour's worth of work.
Are we ready for a vote, board? Okay.
$200.
An employee who has been here 5 years or less receives $100 Christmas bonus. Over 5 years receives $200.
That'll be as a gift card, correct?
Pardon me?
That'll be as a gift card?
That is the...
I think that was her original
format.
Proposal.
Yeah, gift card.
You said that, Carol? Okay.
No.
No. No.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to muddy the waters at all, but I think if we would replay some tapes from 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we had bonus gift talks, I can't believe how the attitude has changed.
Oh, yes. Oh, last year
we fought to try to get all the gatehouse people the same, and what we've done with wages, they're still, you know, not out there real competitive. But if you look at the track record of where we've been, I think you would be surprised. You'd probably be chastising all the previous boards from way back when for the level of gift that we had. So let's go. I don't need your help. Thank you. Board of Trustees, all in favor of the motion made by Carol, please say no. Raise your right hand.
8-0 pass.
All right, item number C was to look at what reserve funds might be appearing in the budget. Cherie, you want to handle that?
I think we all know that the infrastructure here needs some attention in the future. Carol did some research on the pool for either repair or replacement. I think that's a pretty big item. And that's going to require a lot of discussion, some further research. Some folks want to put some repairs, band-aids, whatever, resurfacing. My opinion, I think the pool needs to be replaced with a receding pool where handicapped or people with disabilities, whatever, can have easy access. That's my opinion. But that will be one of the capital expenditures. The infrastructure so far is the sewer lines underneath. They're all 50 years old. They're going to start going. They're going to start, they're going to need replacement. And I think preventative maintenance is the key here. So we need to have a plan to get someone in here. I don't know if they can get a camera because there's so many twists and cutoffs and so forth. But we need to really start looking into that so we don't end up with massive repairs. The road repairs, that's an ongoing constant. The parking lot, blacktop, will have to be done again at some point. And the gatehouse renovation. Not sure how the board wants to go with that, but at some point, we will have to upgrade it. Do either a swing gate or put in another road. I'm not quite sure how to approach that either. But these are the main items. Carol Abney has, I've talked about this with her, and I think these items need to be funded when we get the contingency money. If we have money left over at the end of the year, I think those monies should be appropriated to these reserve accounts. That's all I have for right now.
I'd like to add the linking up of sidewalks to the streets. You know what I'm talking about, right? The sidewalks, many of them don't go to the streets. If a person's walking on the sidewalk, they have to get off into the road, bypass the grass before they hit the street.
I think we talked about that at one of the meetings where we were going to put that in the budget for next year.
Okay. Good.
We'd kind of gone over. Last year we had about a $900,000 excess, and that's what we put into these reserve funds. However, that is not enough to do these projects.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
That's why we have the reserves. So yep. We don't have to go to the bank and take out loans and say, oh my goodness, look at this, this road is blocked, this, you know, we know what's coming down the pipe. We know that these things have to be done, and we will already have the money in place.
And
that's why these reserves have to be funded.
And that's what I'm saying with the 900,000. Next budget, it will be, we can't change this budget without revoting it. But in next budget, this money, these final ones we have now in the budget will be much more, but they will not be enough. And we will have to start assigning extra fees to get those up to where they need to be in order to do the project when it comes time. So we don't need to borrow the money. Even though we have a bunch of money now, it isn't enough to cover the projects we're gapped in the next 5 to 6 years to do.
Can I just remind folks that this board voted a couple months ago to set up reserve funds? My understanding was that on our spreadsheet, we would see reserves and whether we were going to identify them now specifically and say pool, kitchen to the clubhouse and roads. I don't know. We didn't pick those. I distinctly remember us saying, yes, we're setting up reserves. We did not determine how much. I'm just going to throw this out here. My idea was we have $1 million. I'm just estimating. It's about that. That's sitting in the savings account. Or 900,000, whatever you want to use. I thought, and I could be wrong, I've been wrong before, that it would say savings account total 900,000, reserve pool 100,000, reserve roof 100,000, reserve road 100,000, which takes 300,000 out of that 900,000 that we don't touch it for anything else unless there's a catastrophic emergency. So then the savings then becomes, it's still 900,000, but it's 1116. Is that what reserves is about, or am I wrong?
Well, my perception was we would get these funds set up, then we would start figuring out what it's going to cost us 4 years from now to do this. And check if we have enough money in that, we don't need to fund that one anymore. If we don't, then we're going to have to add to the fees $100 per person or something to be put into that fund. In other words, these reserve funds are going to have to be funded by fees of the people in order to get them to the proper level. So when we have to do it, we don't have to go to the bank and take out $2 and $3 million loans. And that's what we're working on.
I get it. But I can stay, before I got on the board, we were talking reserves.
Oh, I know it.
We have not set them up yet. Why can't we just pick a number and put a foundation of money in those reserves and then build from there according to each year's budget, whether it be a percentage of what we intake or a dollar amount,
yeah,
put it in there.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, it needs to be reflected on our spreadsheet. People need to know.
And when the budget, when?
Yes, they need to see it.
I believe just to stress on what she's
talking
about.
In February and March, we started working on the new budget. The old budget we are on now was already voted on. And so if we want to go back and amend the budget, we can do that with a presentation of the amendments and do that. Or we can just start at the first of the year when the new board is set in with the people that are doing it to set this reserve funds in the new budget and separate out the funds that we have extra. And then we will be able to say, okay, now we need to add this much. So when we put the new fees in September, they can reflect us adding to that.
But
it's just taking time.
Reserves don't change the budget. The budget is what you're spending and what you're bringing in. Reserves just allocates your savings account to different line items.
I know.
So I think it can be done now.
Carol, I think she's correct. Our budget is cut and dried at this point in time. We're not changing the budget. All we're doing is saying that we have $900,000 in our savings account. And what we want to do is create a line item on our financial statements showing that we have set aside $100,000 for our sewer lines, $100,000 for our pool repair, $100,000 for our roads and maintenance. We want to say that we are working towards these projects because we know they need to be done. We have $900,000 sitting there. That doesn't mean we're spending $900,000 today, but we're setting aside and saying we're allocating this much money for this project down the road. Yes, that project will be more than $100,000 chances. The longer we wait, the more it's going to cost us.
Carol, did you see the printout that I gave you all?
Which printout? I'm sorry.
I gave you all a printout of the, I prioritized.
No, ma'am, I did not get that.
You all did not get that?
No, ma'am, I did not.
This is exactly what you're talking about, and I had allocated money according to the priorities to the best of my knowledge. And I do apologize that you didn't get it. That's why I shaved my head and looking, and I'm thinking, wow.
No, I did not get one. But that's, I think, what we're trying to stress, is that we want it on our financial statement so that each resident, when they see the financial statement, will know that we've got that money set aside for your projects, but we're not spending it until it's done. And then we increase the budget, I mean, not the budget, but the reserve amount to that category, that specific line item, at the end of each year so that we know what we have left will go in there and we're not touching those monies. Correct? Did I say that right, Cheryl?
I think so. Plus, it allows us, it makes us, and we're not going to allocate a full $900,000. The talk was when we came up with a dollar amount for funding the reserves, the more as important as that is how much we're going to keep in savings in case of an emergency. And we had talked whether it be 3 months worth, 6 months worth of expenses, a year of expenses, which we don't. Because someone had asked, we had talked about there, if there was a law requiring us to keep a year's worth or 6 months worth of expenses in the account. There is not.
No.
That's up to us.
The auditor said whatever we felt was our comfort zone. And with talking with you, Sheriff, we came up with 3 months. Yeah. And
I think that's a good amount.
You felt comfortable with not touching at least $500,000. Yeah. However, when these funds are allocated, they're not being spent.
Right.
These are pretty much an account. Say for the next 5 years, we know the longevity of the route. We know the longevity of the road. We know what it's going to cost. And then at that time, according to priorities, we will have the money for these items.
So let's
and
just do
I
it.
I apologize if you didn't get that sheet of paper. I also had a worksheet that amortized everything and also gave a life expectancy of what we do have existing. And I cannot find the file. It disappeared at the same time a previous employee left us. So I'm working on that diligently, but at least this paper will give you a
guide. Yeah, this is too much because that's the poll. Right. Yeah. We only need to pick
Carol.
Where did this... Nope. You gotta yell at us. Okay. How about that?
There you go.
Carol Addy, 1000 Vista Court. You all have great ideas. Just for point of clarification, a reserve fund is not shown up on your budget. It's shown up on your balance sheet. So you need to A, know that it goes on your balance sheet as a reserve. B, I believe what you want to work on is a policy statement on what is going to be in your reserve account and under what particular parameters you could touch it or not touch it. So you got a little bit of work to do right on the procedure and the nomenclature, but it doesn't go on your budget.
Right.
So you can allocate, to your point, Carol, you can allocate whatever you all decide financially you want to do, 25% of your contingency fund, your excess contingency in any given year, and see yourself ramp up to be able to cover your, you know, major expenditures. Hopefully that helps. It does. I understand what you say. It doesn't belong in the budget.
Right.
But I feel the residents need to see it.
But you need to have, well, all that has to happen is the balance sheet gets printed out the same as the treasurer's report gets printed out, and it's up on the website or it's out here for people to see. They'll see the reserved account.
That's right.
Is a reduction of whatever is your cash accounts. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly identified, but you really need to establish the policy under how that gets funded.
And that's what we had talked about before that needs to get done. I'm just bringing it up because it's not done yet.
You're absolutely correct.
I'm leaving.
I want it done.
I think that's what I was trying to say too. It doesn't affect the budget. It doesn't go on the budget. It's actually a line item for the financial statement and the balance sheets. It has nothing to do with our budget and shouldn't reflect there, but it should be a separate statement so that you all know how we're looking at potentially spending your money.
Karen?
Karen Carrero, 181 Holiday. I just have a question. Once you earmark money out of the reserve fund and you put it for roads or whatever, it has to be used for that. Am I correct? You can't transfer it back out of there to something else?
No, that's not. It's just a, it can be used for something. If something catastrophic happened in the park and we had to spend this money, we would be allowed to do it. It's just a goal to show.
Even though it's
a
line item.
It's not a line item. It's not a budget item.
It's not in the budget, but it's saying, okay, we know our roof is going to need to be replacing in eight years. So you're going to put in $100,000, $50,000. Each year, you're going to say, okay, it's going to cost us $15,000. So each month or each year, you fund this account. So you know in 8 years, that money's going to be there. You don't necessarily, you're not spending the money. You just know that it's like a savings account, each reserve account.
I understand that. It's still there. So at the whim of anybody, you can withdraw that money and spend it on another project.
Yeah. I wouldn't say
at
the whim of anybody.
No, not a whim, but it's there. Yes, it's something came
up. If the board decided.
Okay. Thank you.
But I think it would be a board decision before they took anything out. Not, it wouldn't be a chairman decision.
Right.
Okay. Any other comments? I guess I need clarification from the point of view of who sets the items. We had a think tank session where we listed all kinds of things for projects. Now, to me, it seems like the board should say, this is the priority as we see it right now based on the information, based on estimates from roofers, from pool people, or whatever we were looking to do. Okay, what is that priority? So I agree with Carol. She said about policy statements. I think we need to take another step back and say, this is what we see as our key repairs, infrastructure, whatever you want to call it, that we are looking at to fund and have the time that, you know, this roof looks like it could last 7 years. This one can do whatever. So I think we need to take several steps back and follow up on the list that Cheryl was waving that listed all the things that we had talked about and say this is our priority. What do you think, board?
I don't agree with it in its present form. I think we need to go over each and every item and make that determination, but in its present form, I don't agree with it. I think it needs discussion.
Present form of what? What are we?
What this? How they're listed on that form that?
Oh, these were
all,
just ideas.
You all have apparently.
That chart, yeah. You mean?
That Cherie.
The one, yeah, that's just a suggestion of where we're putting stuff. Because we had a reserve of 900, so we didn't save any out for. Actually, that's what kind of was close to that at the end of the budget year last year that we had excess.
So I would expect
that
we're
going to
discuss
work.
This, and then we're going to come up with some real live.
Yeah, Cherie had done some work before, like she said. She had amortized stuff out and did some of that. Can't find that. So we're going to have to redo that.
Okay, good.
So there will be more information.
Okay. I don't think we're ready for any action, so we'll just put this into the hopper for future meetings. In my chairman's announcements, I said I'd like to add that appointments to do the counting of the ballots for tomorrow needs board action. So looking for a motion for the two primary counters and two reserve counters plus Johnny Stout. So Cheryl and I would be primary counters, Keith and Carol reserve counters. Looking for such a motion.
I agree, Jack. That doesn't need a motion. You're the chairman. You have the right to appoint who you choose.
I think as I read the bylaws, it says the chairman appoints and they get subject to the board approval. That's what I read. That's why I'm doing it that way.
I make a motion that we approve the two, what do you call them? What do you call them?
Primary.
Primary.
Counters.
And secondary
counters.
Counters.
I second the motion.
And don't forget Johnny Stout, our.
And Jackie Stout?
Johnny. Our impartial observer.
And to approve the impartial observer.
And I'll second that motion too.
It's moved and seconded. Any more discussion? Any discussion from residents? Linda?
Linda Santa Maria, 113 Holiday Park. To me, isn't Johnny Stout, like, she's all over this park. Like, when I heard them say somebody not associated with the park, I figured it was somebody that has nothing to do with the park. It's just a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shh.
Okay.
I looked at it as someone who would be impartial, who didn't have an axe to grind or anything like that. An independent, pardon me? She's licensed and bonded, which are other factors. Any other comments?
It's your choice.
Becky, could you come up to the microphone and explain your question or your comment, please, so that people understand what you're saying?
What's she got in this now?
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. Johnny Stout, in the business that she's in, is licensed and bonded. She is supposedly a reputable person. And she has nothing to gain or lose by the results of the election.
Right. Thank you. She's definitely impartial as far as ownership, residency goes.
She does not live in the park.
No. Doesn't own a property.
Nope.
No.
Thank you.
I call the question.
All right. Board. All in favor? Oh. of approving.
Carrie had a question, Jack.
I called the question, that's all.
Well, he wants the vote.
I want
the
vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Thank you.
Yeah, let's get on here.
All right. Again, show of hands. All in favor of the appointments? Opposed?
8-0 passed.
ACC report. Ron, you have anything to add?
Yeah, Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I'd just like to thank everybody who cooperated and did their corrections on their write-ups on their houses. And the majority of the time was a pleasurable experience to meet most of the residents here. And once things were explained to them, they cooperated and everything seemed to go pretty well. We got the letter from Cherie on the 4th of December to send out for the second violation letter. And we're adding to it because according to our the rules and regulations and deed restrictions, when the second letter goes out, the fine system has to go out with it. So if someone's willing to pay the fine, they know what it's going to be if they don't want to do their corrections. And this next week, we're going to, well, probably the end of this week and the beginning of next week, we're going to go out and do the second corrections to make sure that are done before we write anybody else up again for the same thing. If they got, everybody didn't call me or call Bill or any of the other guys on the committee. So we've gotten probably close to 200 people to say their corrections are done. And we've gone back and checked in to see them. So now we're going to check the other 300 that we wrote up.
I was going to ask you how many that you know have been satisfied, and about 200?
I got to say close to 200. And one of the fellows in the park has been doing a lot of the power washing for him. When he gets done with the, because he just doesn't do power washing, he's been taking care of the weeds and putting numbers on the mailboxes and all that stuff. He'll call us and say, hey, whatever number on Blossom's done, you want to go check it and let me know. So that's what we've been doing. And a lot of the people that got the letters either called us and said, hey, look, I didn't get the letter up here in Canada until the 15th of November because the mail system. And I'm coming down the first week of December. So they all got extended. We're just trying to work with the people, get to the park. And I think the park's looking very well now. We've had quite a few compliments on it. And like I said, the second letter, we're going to try to get out as soon as we can. We just got to check the other 300 homes before we send the second letter out to them. And I think that's about it. I would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And I know it's not politically correct, but it's Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to y'all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
You too.
In Cherie's report, you heard the area by the storage area, RV boat and storage area, where Alpine Tree Service provided a bid of $1,450 for along the west side, along the wall, the south side, along chain link fence, and the east side, along chain link. So they're trimming Australian pines, trim black pepper trees to fence, and trim 5 palms and remove 1 palm. Is there a motion to approve this contract?
I make a motion we approve the contract for Alpine to remove this trees.
Second.
Karen? Any comments? Questions, board people, first off? Okay. Mark?
Mark Boda, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. For the vote, people that are in violation, what happens with if they put in a vote?
Do we know who's in violation?
What are you asking?
You sent letters out of violation?
Right.
So if a person's in violation, are they still allowed to vote?
You talk about the deed restrictions, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. We're voting on this.
I thought you were looking at the public comment section.
Pardon me?
I thought you were at public comments.
No.
come back.
Oh, he went back to Alpine.
Okay. Any other comments? Back so soon?
Did that go out for a bid and get three bids?
Don't need to. Not enough.
Doesn't have to be because of the amount.
The dollar amount is not.
What is it?
Is it 5,000? 5,000, you have to have three bids.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Calling the question. Raise your right hand if you support the motion. Opposed?
8-0 pass.
Sorry about missing that one. Got buried in one other set of papers here. Okay, public comment.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. I just wanted to make sure everybody gets their coupons before Brady's. We're having our fundraiser on Wednesday.
Or what?
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone.
Where do you get the coupons?
The coupons are in the alcove out in the hall.
Thank you.
Yep.
What's our coupons for?
What are they for?
Okay.
What are they for?
Mark Boda, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. So my question before was, when we have the vote on deed restrictions, are people that are in violation allowed to vote?
I think I don't know where it says it. I think it's in the deed restrictions. It says if you're not in good standing and in violation, you cannot vote. That's what it says.
So when they're going through,
we need to have
violation.
So, understand. It's tomorrow, so we need to have it.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Any other?
I thought the deed restriction voting was over, and nobody's going to know who voted for what.
No, not who voted for what, but if you get the way I understand it, I'm sorry, Dennis. Do you want to? I don't want you standing up there. Okay, don't fall. When you get the envelope with the person's name and address, if that address is in violation, it would go in an invalid pile.
Okay, and so we got clearance from the ACC of ones that were sent a letter but now are cleared?
We're asking for it now. You have a database of that?
Are we talking all these letters? 200 are satisfied, so there's 280 still outstanding. I mean, some of them are for weeding and this and that, and they can't vote. Wouldn't it be if they refuse at the end of the enforcement timeline of 21, and they're still not complying, then they can't vote on things? Not if they don't have letters on their mailbox or they didn't do some weeding or whatever, you know?
I guess it's how you interpret it. If it's after the 30, 21, then it becomes a permanent violation.
So we're not at that point with any of these letters. So let's not concern ourselves with it.
I guess it's how you interpret the bylaws.
Yeah,
Dennis.
Get to a finisher. I don't know. Are you done?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Dennis Pietka, 3096 Holiday Park. I like a motion from the board to elect voluntarily a sergeant at arms. Because I'm tired of the first chair slamming that gavel down, and I think he's going to break it one of these days. And just to make a motion for a volunteer for Sergeant Arms to patrol the gallery. That's all. Thank you.
That's our gavel for.
Well, he'll never bring it up.
Thank you.
Bruce?
It's his job. Oh.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. The discussion was that people want to not allow people to vote, and that's wrong. We had these things passed in the deed restrictions. Number one, they were wrong when they were passed. Our attorney never should have approved them. The very first time we tried to restrict somebody, we were told it can't be done. When we tried to cut off cable televisions, the office was told you will not touch that box. If a person has a tax certificate in the house, according to the deed restrictions, you are not an owner in good standing. There's just one problem. We have your money. So you're going to deny them the use of this clubhouse, the pool, and the pool hall? What are we going to do, hire cops to monitor this? Absolutely not. Every person in this park has a right to vote.
I agree, yeah. But that's not what's written in the bylaws right now. And I know they went in 2017, and I know a lot of people don't agree with them. But you guys voted on them, and they're there. So what's the interpretation? Don't be cocky, Bruce. Just a conversation. So I agree, because you know what? If I don't live here and I live somewhere else and I don't pay my taxes, which puts us in violation here if we didn't pay our assessments, I can still go and vote. So I could be, I could be getting a speeding ticket every day out there. I can still go vote. So there are violations that people do every single day of their lives. They're still allowed the freedom to vote. My question is, the way those bylaws are written, and do we interpret it the way Gary said, do you do it immediately after the 30 days, or do you go 30, 30, 21, then if they're still in violation, you're not allowed to vote? I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
Certainly not during the process. I mean, you know, we haven't reached the end of the line yet with any of these 480 people, or letters, lots, whatever, owners. And hopefully there'll just be a handful by the time it gets to that point. Because we've got the ACC working with all the residents and owners to try to not get to that point. Mm-hmm. As you might have noticed, we're already right around the 60-day point, and the second letter's not out yet. So that just shows the compassion that the ACC board and all of them involved are showing to all the residents. They're not coming down hard. They're not pointing to the calendar, and they're not looking to take away people's right to vote. Not now. We might end up with a couple, but I think they can appeal to the board, and if maybe at that point they won't be able to vote on something, but not now.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. The policies were just redone, rewritten, June 14th, 2021. And it is in there. If you have a violation, you cannot vote. And they wrote them, Bruce, Joanne, and Becky.
And is that what we're voting on, though?
You guys voted on it, and you passed it on June 14th, 2021. It's right here, three pages of it.
That's bylaw?
That owner in good standings, voting suspended. If they have any violations, suspension of the right to vote shall not apply to trustees. Only to violations, deed restrictions, ACC rules. If you violate any of them, you are not allowed to vote.
I sure hope there isn't a lawyer in the bunch, because they'll sue the heck out of them.
Bruce Crabford, 42 Neighborly Court. That is being taken out of context.
Allow him to speak, please.
If you look at page, I think it's 12, 13, and 14, Those three pages, will you listen? They go together. When they added this black print right here, they pushed it to the next page. That's not our fault. That's what happened when they printed it. Whatever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh? I don't either.
Well, then it's the ACC's responsibility to get us that list of who's in violation, if that's what we're supposed to do. It's just do it. Don't ask if she wants it. Just do it. Because no one else has it.
Stacey Vincent, 1111 Seminole Court. It sounds like this is a really important thing to decide on tonight, and that's why we have you all here. So we're going to need you guys to make a decision on how this is going to be handled because the vote's tomorrow. Are those votes with the people who have the violations going to be thrown out, or are they going to be accepted? So please keep that in mind, and you guys can make that decision for us this evening. Thank you.
I thought there was a period at one time, Bruce, I thought there was a period at one time when you were willing to throw out all of the determinations about being in good standing. There was a period that you talked about it, and you talked about how you can't determine who is in good standing and who is not in good standing. So why are we fighting over this good standing thing right now? Was there anything ever said, was there anything ever said at some point in time, if you can't determine who's going to be a person in good standing? Okay. Sorry. If you can't determine who's a person in good standing, then how could you possibly even use that in a deed restriction? Because you can't determine it. So did this get under the wire? Did this ACC thing get under the wire? Is there something we can do about eliminating that part of it right now, tonight?
You know, I don't like that comment. Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Our committee busted their fanny for 6 months on this.
Please, people.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Am I right that goes onto those other two pages? When they printed that out, it threw that last sentence to the other page. Am I correct?
No, I think it goes under owner of good standing.
Right, along with those other, that whole section.
Yes. Which says your right to vote is suspended.
Right, but so, it goes with those other two pages. Look at it.
It's under owner in good standing. No violations of deed restrictions, rules and regulations, and ACC policy.
And what does the heading say on those two pages?
With a note that says, to be reviewed after future deed restrictions are approved.
Right.
We at the time, now I didn't do the deed restrictions, but at this time we couldn't take this out.
That's right.
Because of the deed restrictions. There was a cross-contamination type thing,
right,
or whatever. But, so it was going to be revisited, but at this point, it's still intact.
I understand that.
So,
but the problem has been, we already have precedent established that we couldn't enforce those. The very first one was Bright House. Because according to that, they're going to cut your cable television off. That's in there. Am I right?
It was before. I don't think it's in there now, is it?
And then if you have a tax certificate on your property, you're not an owner in good standing. And that's totally illegal, because if you have a tax certificate, We have your assessment money. So that's a lawsuit. And a lot of those other owner good standing things, that's why our committee voted to take them all out. All the owner of good standing stuff we wanted to take out for that reason. It's not what I want. The committee did this.
Well, it didn't get taken out yet.
No, it can't get taken out until the vote goes through. If the vote don't go through tomorrow, then you're going to live with it.
Yep. But what can we do tonight?
I'd like to make a motion that we allow all ballots to be counted as legal ballots.
I second the motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, I seconded it. Especially since the ACC cannot provide us with the list in time for tomorrow. Well, you know, you still got to do follow-up inspections, so all.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt. Because the votes are going to be assessed tomorrow. That's why. Let's push it through, and then we'll address it, revisit it the next time.
No, you're not wasting your time with everything you've done. The park is substantially improving because of what you've done. So, you know, nothing's going to be lost. We're voting on new deed restrictions, major revisions, streamlining of it. It might pass, it might not. We might be, you know, still with the old. But we all deserve to know what is the will of the residents.
So we can just break any rule we want.
Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. I just have a question. Maybe
Anne, can you lower the mic, honey? We can't hear you.
Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. I have a question. What happened with the last discussion about this whole entire ballot thing being illegal and being done incorrectly? Whatever happened with all that?
You missed Cherie's report. She's indicated tonight that the Board of Elections said.
We have that in writing? We have that in writing from the Board of Elections?
That it's not in their jurisdiction.
Oh. Okay.
Thanks, care of that.
I checked with the supervisor of election myself, Connor. I called him. And he said it's not their jurisdiction. They did not conduct the election, and they're not going to give us any legal advice. He referred us to the Department of Elections, State of Florida Department of Elections, which I gave Cherie the number. I didn't want to keep going. Cherie was able to contact them, and they're not going to give us any guidance. They said seek legal advice. So we did from the attorneys, the park's attorney, and he spelled out how we can do this. The biggest problem is the return address label was put on the wrong envelope. Okay, but it had no effect on the votes. So, well, maybe somebody didn't vote. I don't know. I didn't hear of anybody coming in and complaining and saying, I can't vote because you put my return address on the secrecy envelope. So, you know, with a little care tomorrow, we can avoid looking at how did each person vote? There'll be a deliberate effort made by the counters, I'm not one of them, to just take the return address, check it off the ownership rolls, then open it up, set it aside, and try not to look at the ballot. You know,
it's going to be folded. You're going to put it in a thing. No one's going to see a ballot. It's going to be
separate from the envelope. Changing any votes.
Right. Right now, we have a motion on the floor to accept all ballots.
Yes.
And that's what we should be addressing.
Yes. Right.
Annette Regas, 409 Holiday. No matter what you decide, how you proceed, you were advised that this was not done properly.
That's not true.
It was not done properly.
And unfortunately, on something like this, you could be setting a precedent down the road. The attorney, I don't know how well-versed he is regarding some of the rules and regulations we have, but I don't believe anything from anybody unless it's in writing and I can read it. So unless I get a letter from the attorney saying, yes, you, this is fine, you can proceed with it. Hearsay of him saying, go ahead, well, we all know it's incorrect and it wasn't done right and it should not be carried forth.
Who advised us it was done incorrectly?
I call for the vote. I call for the question.
No, Bruce, I don't want to get into that, please.
I call for the
Board,
question.
Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor of the motion to count all ballots as legal ballots, raise your right hand. 8-0.
No,
none?
It was not. I didn't raise my right hand.
You want to raise your vote?
7-1. Okay. No.
Not on this.
Okay. Well, now you get the vote. Thank you.
Can we move to trustee comments?
No. This is very important.
I got him on the clock.
Okay. You have 3 minutes.
Got the timer.
Bruce. He does.
It's Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. There's been a big issue about this whole thing was invalid. And it was done at the Friday meeting, which was held as the whatever it was that they held it. And then Bob Shortledge got up at the last meeting and said, it was done wrong and you can't do the ballot that way. And I went and talked with Bob. And I sent the board a letter on December 1st, whereby in March of 2012, we did a ballot in this park, and if you see right here, this is the return envelope with my address on it. This is the ballot envelope, which you have to print your name, put your address on there, date it, and sign it with your signature. That is the ballot envelope. When this was also done in 2015, when the major mistakes were made with that deed restriction, the same thing applied. This is the ballot envelope that I returned with my name on it. This is the ballot envelope right here where you have to put your property address, the owner's name, and you have to sign it. And there's two precedences right there. So I don't want to hear any more about the ballots being done wrong.
Well,
okay, let's do the board.
Okay, board, you have any comments or remarks?
Only one about it's time to leave.
Nope. I do not believe that we have been told by a legal entity that this ballot is illegal. It is opinion of some residents in the park that it is illegal, doesn't make it true. Do I think this is the way? I did not run this my ballots like this in New York. I would rather have a blind envelope. There is a solution so that people don't know who voted for how people voted. It can work this way. Doesn't make it illegal because you don't like the way it's done. That kind of misinformation gets spit out into the park and has divided this park. It is ridiculous that we have neighbors versus neighbors in this park when we should be happy to be here. If you are that unhappy with your life that you have to make everyone else miserable, you need to change your life and move on. The rest of us want to be happy in our senior years. But because you say it doesn't mean it's true.
I'm going to leave.
Any other comments?
Yeah. I don't know if we need to bring this up now. And I'm not saying whether it should be or not, but Mr. Boda, I did read that letter earlier from Mr. Shortledge. Do we need to address that letter in any way? I'm uncertain enough to say that I don't know, and I would rather ask the board, do we need to address
what,
Could we ask
Mr. Boda, what was his point of reading it? Did he want it in the minutes, or did he want us?
Mr. Boda, do you still have that letter, sir?
Mark, what was your point of reading the letter? Did you want it in the minutes? Did you want to do something with it?
Do you want to sue us for fraud or what?
That's the only thing I was questioning was the fact if he wanted it in the minutes or not.
We're talking about the minutes. So when you brought the minutes up, this was
you wanted
done.
You wanted that put in the minutes? Because we were just going on approval of the minutes, and what that is basically saying what's in it and what's not, and that's what I was wondering if
I understand.
So does that letter that you read to us, does that need to be placed in our minutes? Did he want them to be legally placed so that it was a letter?
I think he just wanted it read. He just wanted his voice to be heard, and he asked that I read it, and I said I would read it because nobody else wanted to read it. That's all.
Oh. Okay.
Was he wanting action taken on it? Did he specifically state in there, please?
No, he just wanted to read it.
No, he said Jack Emmerich should be reprimanded and immediately resign as chairman for violating the Sunshine Law agenda, Robert's rules of order, gaveling, and attempts to interfere with residents' right to speak, and for bullying the board and residents in this community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was his statement.
Thank you.
Robert grabbed me one day as I was driving by his house. I had to wait for him to park his truck out of the street. And he told me that, you know, he felt Jack had acted improperly in that meeting by not allowing him to speak at that moment. And I told him he was wrong. Jack, we were going to table whether or not to cancel the December 27th meeting. We couldn't make a decision at that time, and the discussion was over. Robert wanted to talk about other things, but we were tabling the discussion, and the chair acted properly, and we tabled the thought and discussion of whether or not to cancel the December 27th meeting. That's what was being discussed. He wanted to talk about something else, which he got a chance to in public comments later, but it wasn't relative to the topic at the time. So shutting him down right then was right.
Thank you for clarification.
I have a question. Have we officially ever adopted Robert's Rules of Order for anything? In what way? In what way? I mean, let me tell you something, Bruce. I read Robert's Rules of Order, and what it says in there is this is just to be taken as an advisory.
Right.
Well, it's not in there, then. Then you answer my question, right? We didn't adopt it for anything. Quit using it. That's all I got.
Any other comments?
I have a comment for you, adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Right hand.
Right hand, guys.
Sir Knight Jack. Did we get 8-0? I want to thank you. You did a nice job presiding.
Yep. Sherry, this is your last meeting, right?
No drinking.
This is your last meeting? We're going to miss you.
Oh, God. That's okay. Well,
except that if he wants it posted, he needs to bring because our bylaws say if a trustee is going to submit a change. It's not just I want to change it. This is what I want to change it to. Because that has to be posted 10 days. As opposed to writing it now.
it becomes a discussion.
Go ahead and bring it to me.
And he did, right?